that you're confused, and maybe someone is watching by way of television, and you just want to know more about it. What is the Church of Christ all about? Well, we know that according to the scriptures, it was in the mind of God before he even created the world. Amen. And I want to read some Bible verses. And I want you to know this is coming out the Bible and not from Brother Gary Smith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Ephesians 3, 10. Everybody wake up now. So that the manifold wisdom of God, and God's wisdom is manifold like nobody else's. God does things. You might not know all the reasons why he does it, but he does it for a reason. And his wisdom is beyond our comprehension. And it is, notice this, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. It says now, he wants his wisdom to be made known to the world through the church. Now, and if you are fighting church, or if you don't want to have, and see, and some of our older folk, we need to understand and recognize, we live in a world now where young folks question everything. And you can't just give somebody, well, let's go to church. Well, they want to know. Well, and not just now, then, when I was young. Okay, why do I need to even go to church? Well, and it's more than just going to church. See, we act like it's a place that we go. But you'll see that according to the word of God, that when we go, we are the church, if you will. He wants his wisdom to be made known, but the church is an entity. Church is not us by ourselves. And it was created by God and designed to display God's many-sided wisdom. According to the scriptures, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose. It's always been in God's mind, which he carried out in Christ Jesus the Lord. Before God created the world, he had in his mind that he was going to establish a church that will carry out his wisdom in all the world, if you will. We know it's in the mind. Scripture teaches it was built and purchased by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased. He said in Matthew 16, 18, on this rock, I will build my, when he was on the earth, Jesus says, I will build my church. And we know he built it because Acts 20 and 28 says he purchased it with his own blood. And so he built it, Jesus built it, and Jesus purchased it. The church shares no glory with anybody. Nobody else ought to be claiming ownership of the church. Nobody but Jesus. And Paul, notice this, in the New Testament, after religious division had rose in the church at Corinth, Paul wrote this scathing words to the church. He wrote these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, this is the early church. After they got, it's like not like right now. So we come from different places. Some of us bring what we think we know into the church. And some of us want to do some things that we used to do. And in the early church, there was paganism and there was sectarianism. And they were used to giving glory to anything else but Jesus and but God. And Paul asked the question. He says, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Then he said this, has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you. Paul was talking about himself. And I love that about the preacher. He's humbled. He don't want to get all the glory like some preachers do today. Some preachers want you to put their big picture on a big poster outside. How would you like to have my picture outside on the building? A big picture of life-size picture of Gary Smith on. What does that say about this church? No glory belongs to me as the preacher. The glory goes to Paul, says, I'm not Christ. Is Christ divided? And that's how we'll do. You know we'll do that. Yeah, we like to raise up people. But yeah, we have to see somebody. You don't see me. No, because if you look deep in me, you find out there's some flaws in me. Paul says, I don't want that kind of glory. Paul said, did I die for you? That's what he said. He says, or were you baptized in the name of Paul, is what he said. Now, we're talking about church. We're talking about what was going on in the early church. And Paul says, I'm going to nip this in the bud right now. Amen. Stop saying, Gary's my man. Peter's my man. Apollos is my man. Muhammad is my man. Because it's all in the church of Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes, and I thank God. Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Cephas, except Crispus and Gaius. He said, I'm glad I didn't baptize. And I don't want you to say that you my members. Kind of reminds me of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther in 1517, when he was a monk and he was a scholar and he was a doctor in religion and he was in the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church had got so far away from what he felt like the Bible was teaching that he wrote 95 theses and he hung them on the Wittenberg Church in Germany, hung them, and it testified saying all of this stuff y'all doing in the name of the church. Indulgences, they were actually selling remission of sin to members who had the money to buy them righteousness with God. Martin Luther said, that's wrong. He said, we need to be sticking to the Bible. In other instances, he may have been off some, but he said, and notice this now. And now, there are people who call themselves Lutheran right now. And if Martin Luther could rise from his grave, he would turn over in his grave if he knew. Now, Martin Luther is not the one who called the Lutherans the Lutherans. If he could turn over in his grave, if he knew people were calling themselves Lutherans, he didn't want that. But those that raised up after him and said that because he taught this, that they are calling themselves Lutheran, Martin Luther wouldn't be for that. And Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize you. The church has only one head. Colossians chapter 1:18, he is also the head of the body, the church. And that's Jesus Christ. And he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So and he himself will come to have first place, notice this, in everything. So when it comes to the church of Christ, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ being head of the church. In the church of Christ, followers are called by the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the preached or taught message of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain. He says, for I delivered unto you first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. To answer the call of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried again, and that is what calls people out of the world into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And that message has to be preached by gospel preachers. That message has to be preached, cannot be compromised. It's all about Jesus. No glory goes to nobody else. Jesus is different from anybody else because Jesus did not stay in the grave. He rose from the dead on the third day, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And that is the gospel message. And we repeat it over and over again and don't change that gospel message. And if anybody's going to be saved, they are called by the gospel. They are called by the gospel. The gospel is preached, but there is yet something that we have to do when we hear the gospel. It's not good enough just to hear the gospel and say, glory, hallelujah, I'm saved. Those that obey the gospel are called saints. They're called disciples. Or they're called Christians according to the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, I won't read them all, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, To those who've been sanctified, those that's in the church of Christ and have been baptized into Christ are sanctified. Some folks in the church don't even know they're sanctified. And some of us don't want to be, don't call me sanctified, Brother Gary. That's those people who jump and holler. And what sanctified means you're set apart, that you're purified. Now, you don't have to be, if you don't want to be sanctified, well, you need to check up on that, but I'm sanctified. Now, that don't mean that I'm perfect and that I do not sin, but you're going to need to be sanctified if you're going to see God's face in peace. He says, been sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's how you're sanctified. It's because you're in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Saints by calling. Do we have any saints in here this morning? Amen. We sing the song, when the saints go marching in. If you march in, you will be a saint. You won't be an ain't. Because if you're an ain't, you won't march in. We are saints by calling with all, notice this, with all, you say, Brother Gary, that's talking about the church of God at Corinth. Read on further. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and our Lord. It was to the church at Corinth. It is to us today who call on the name of the Lord Jesus and who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, they're called saints. They're called disciples and Christians. In Acts chapter 11, in verse number 26, the latter part of that verse, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Yes, in the church of Christ, in the church of Christ, we are called Christians. Yes, notice this. And we are Christians only. You don't have to put anything in front of that or behind that. You see, notice this. In the Bible, those who are baptized into Christ, who are baptized into Jesus Christ, were called Christians. Whenever the pure gospel was preached in New Testament times by the apostles, by Paul, or by any other New Testament preacher, Philip, those and others, Barnabas, it produced Christians only. That's what it produced. It didn't establish any other quote-unquote denomination that the Bible makes no mention of. They were not mentioned at all. When we're talking about scriptural understanding and knowing that you're doing exactly what God told you to do. And I'm telling you about the Church of Christ now. And so when the gospel was preached, those who were baptized, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And the church, and most of the time when you read the Bible, it's simply called the church. The church, the entity, the organization is called the church because during this time there wasn't but one church. And so those that got baptized, or anybody in here want to be called a Christian this morning? Just a Christian only. No addition, no subtraction. We are followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, and so see, and the church wore. It wore divinely appointed name. The church can be readily, easily identified in the Bible. That's why I do have a difficult time understanding where all of these different names, it's so confusing to people. You know, it's confusing to our children. It's confusing. Some people that didn't grow up in religion at all, they don't know where to go, what to do. Yeah, people that's doing all kinds of names. And all you have to do is look in the Bible to see what the church was called. And listen to some of these names. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are Christ's body. You underline Christ's body. And you have to read a little bit up above that to find out that it's definitely talking about to the church of God. He says you are Christ's body. Brother Gary, that's talking about the human body? No, listen. And individually, members of it. See, individually, we are Christians. When you get baptized, you are an individual member of the Church of Christ. Amen. And we are collectively, we are identified, the Bible does. See, we could have out on our sign, we could have on that Christ's body. And we would be biblical and authorized to put up that Christ's body. Why, Brother Gary? Because it's in the Bible. And notice this, the body is the church. The church is the body. We just read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, for he is the head of the body, the church. Amen? Amen. So the body is the church. The church is the body. We see in Corinthians, he says, you are Christ's body. Raise your hand if you're Christ's body, part of Christ's body. Yeah, so notice this. Well, that's fine. Now, suppose we put out on the name on out on the building identifying mark. Suppose we put Mount Nebo Church. Listen, I'm telling you about the church. That's why we don't have Mount Nebo Church out there. Now, they're identifying marks. Now, the location of the church, as in many instances, like the church in Galatia, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, that's the city that the church was in to identify the location. And so, but it is still one church, but it's called the church at Corinth, the church. Now, and so we don't want to make sure nobody, folks know that it's all about Jesus Christ, not Mount Nebo. It's about who made Mount Nebo. Listen to this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians 4, everybody still with me, you all right? People are asking me questions all the time, and I just try to answer some of these questions in preaching the gospel, make sure they understand what we're about. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. There it is again. We're Christ's body, building up of the, it's identifying us, the body of Christ. And what do we say? The body is the what? And the church is the? So he says, identifying the body of Christ is the church of Christ. Identifying who the body is according to the scriptures. And Colossians 1:18, we said he's the head of the body of the church. First Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But in case I'm delayed, I write to you so you'll know how one ought to conduct himself. I can't speak for everybody else, but God has left us how he wants to operate in his church. In his manifold, his many-sided wisdom, he wants to exhibit it to the world. He wants the world to see all of his wisdom, all of his purpose. He wants to see it through the glory of the church. And he tells us, he says, Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he says, Timothy, if I'm delayed a while, I'm putting this in writing so you will know, the church will know how to conduct themselves. Now, notice it's called the household of God. So we have the Christ body. We have the body of Christ. We have the church of Christ. We have the household of God. Notice the glory is going to God. It's going to Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you in a minute that God and Jesus are the same. The household, it's definitely talking about us. Not you by yours. You by yourself are not the household of God. Amen. And that's for those who maybe, now I understand if you're providentially hindered and you cannot get out, you're sick, that's one thing. But some folks say, well, you know what? I'll do my church on my own. No. First of all, you don't have a church. Second, you didn't die for the church. You don't set the rules for the church. You're not by yourself and the church. But Gary, you know, people, man, so much stuff, and I understand. I know people are fickle and people are off, and some of them mentally, something wrong with them, including you. Excuse me. All of us got something wrong with us, don't we? Yeah. You go on a job and there's a lot of people with things wrong with them on that job. And you just go to the job, you go do your work, and you do what you're supposed to do, and you speak to some, and you still have rules that you follow. And if you don't follow those rules, you will not get your paycheck. And understand this, I know there are folks, there are people in our family, there's something wrong with them, but you're still in that family. In the church house, yes, there are some people in here. There's some not in here this morning, but there's some folks in here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, so we're in the world. Yeah, but don't over-exaggerate things. Some people, it is just exaggerate. Everybody just crazy. Everybody. Listen, you just don't know that in this. Boy, look, I'm glad. I know some of you might think I'm bragging, but I'm glad I'm a member of this Church of Christ that meets in Fifth Ward. I know everybody might not feel exactly the same, but there are some good people. There are some loving folks. There are some folk who trying to get to heaven, some praying folks, some giving folks that you just don't know them if you feel that way. And so don't over-exaggerate. Don't get in that negativity, because God is wise. God knows your heart. And so notice, we are the household of God. Now, which is, now we're giving by ordained biblical names that identify the church. And so why would we call ourselves anything other than what the Bible calls us? So here he says, which is the household of God, and to make sure we understand it, which is the church of the living God. So we get all of these biblical understandings and name and authorizations. If I'm a preacher, if I'm a teacher, if I'm a leader, if I go to the country and I want to start a church, I'll preach the gospel like it was preached. We call ourselves what the Bible calls us, Christians, Christians only. Saints, disciples only. And we're identified with biblical names that give us authority, give us God's authority. The pillar and the supporter, know that the pillar and support of the truth. Now, if there's truth, we also know there's error. Bible says in John 4:24, God is spirit. Notice this, they that worship him must, when we come here today, we could come here and come here in vain. If we in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, Matthew 15:9. So there are those who worship God in vain. Why, Brother Gary? Because they're teaching what they want to teach. And so in this church, you searching for a church, in this church of Christ, Brother Gary, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to always try to teach foundational lessons to let the church know we are Christ's church. We are distinctive in nature. We are trying to follow this Bible. And it's called the church of God, the church of the living God. Listen to. I'll give you a couple more names. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved or his dear son. So we have another identifying name, the kingdom of his beloved and of his beloved son. In Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. And then it says, all the churches of Christ greet you or salute you. So we see here that the collective, and here in Paul, as he's writing to Rome, and he had been on 3 missionary journeys, actually 4, and probably 5 missionary journeys, and he established churches in Galatia and Antioch, and he established churches preaching the word of God, the gospel. Churches were established, and then he writes letters to many of them in many cities, and he says all the churches of Christ, members of the body of Christ, there are members of the church of Christ all over the United States. And Paul says all the churches of Christ, and I don't misunderstand that now, because that's some people say, well, see, that tell you, Brother Gary, that all the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Catholics, that all the churches, that's the Bible says, all of the church. Well, see, it can't be talking about those, though, really, if you think about it. You can't be talking about everybody. It's all of these, see, because the churches you're talking about, those names didn't exist in the Bible. This is out of love and just truth. Now, some folks, everybody won't receive this, but some people that are searching, or some people that don't know, or some people that don't read their Bible that much, I would challenge you to go to the internet and pull up all the names of different churches and where they started and the names of them, and find some of the names in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. No, you won't find a Scientology church in the Bible. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. Amen? Much love. I mean, Jesus said you shall know the truth. I'm like this. Look. Just tell me the truth and let me do with the truth what I'm going to do with it, amen? And so it's not about getting mad or getting angry with anybody, because why would you get angry about somebody telling you the truth? Right. Amen? It's about what is. And I'm just giving the facts this morning. Now, when he says all the churches of, matter of fact, when he says salute all the churches, let me show you how I absolutely know that it wasn't talking about. If you read a little bit further, I don't know if I put it in my notes. Someone turn in your scriptures at Romans 16:16. And turn to Romans, read Romans 6. Give me a brother to read Romans 16:17 and 18. Read that for me. I'm going to show you how I know that it wasn't talking about all of these different denominations that teach different things other than what the Bible teaches. Someone read Romans 16:17 and 18, I believe it is. Someone read that loud for us. Brother, read that loud for us.
I urge you, brother.
Wait a minute, just a second. I want the whole church to hear this. Yeah. Everybody's all right, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I urge you, brothers. To watch out for those who cause division.
Notice this. This is right after that passage. He said, now I'm urging you, brothers, to keep your eye on those who would cause division. Now, can it be all these different? He said, now I'm telling you to salute the churches of Christ. And the churches of Christ are those that's teaching Christ's doctrine. All these churches that were established, they taught the same thing in all the church. And Paul says this. After he said, now I'm urging you, brethren. Read on, brother Rick.
And put obstacles in your way.
That cause division and put what? Obstacles in your way. Read.
That are contrary to the teaching.
Notice this. This is the key. That's contrary to the teaching. Read.
Contrary to the teaching you have learned.
You have learned. Notice this. Now, Brother Gary, you might think. Now, I know sometimes when you come to church, you want to get your church on. You, like Brother Vincent was singing this morning. Well, he was singing, wasn't he? When the church singing, and what we singing, praise the Lord, and we your glory, hallelujah. And God want us to worship him in spirit, but he wants you to worship him in spirit, but you worship in truth also.
Right.
So you can't get your church on without some church teaching.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Some folk, all they come, that's why a lot of churches like to entertain you. Oh, yeah. Now we could buy some banjos and some, do they still sell banjos? Some guitars and some organs. And we could, now, if we were going to do it, I would say, look, let's bring everything in here.
Yeah.
The synthesizers and all of that. But notice this. We could do that if we wanted to. We can afford that. But this he says, a contrary, the teaching is, Jesus said before he left, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Church is more than about you getting your groove on. You go to concert for that. But at the same time, we're not to be dead up in here also. We praise the Lord with the fruit of our lips. The scriptures say we are God's instrument in New Testament time. Amen. Read on, Brother Rick. Let me finish this.
Keep away from them.
Notice what he's saying now. Now, so this is why in love we teach. We're not any better than anybody else. We are staying humble. But at the same time, God, we don't play with this thing. No, God says, look, he says, now you keep your eye on those who would cause division, teach other things. He says, look, and then you stay away from them when it comes to them trying to indoctrinate us to do what they are doing. Read the charge. Read on.
For such people are not serving our Lord Christ.
Now notice this. So for those of us that are here, you can't be blind serving God. No, you can't keep your head. You can't just follow somebody just to be following somebody. No. You can't. Notice this. And because some people that's teaching know that they're not teaching the truth. And they're trying to lead others astray, and they're trying to get in your pockets. Read, Brother Rick.
But their own appetites.
They're serving their own. And I'm telling you something. I know a few personally who absolutely know. They'll tell me that one guy that I know, he tell me, he said, y'all teach that Bible. And I said, well, what are you teaching? And he just said to me, he said, but I know how to make the, how did he say it? I don't want to misquote him. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Who is it, bro? I'm not going to tell you who it is. But he said, I know how to make that plate jingle. And when he said that, I stepped off. Read, Brother Rick, and I'm going to finish.
By smooth talk.
By what?
By smooth talk.
Read.
And flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive people.
That's why, listen, don't be naive. If you're watching by, don't just accept everything hook, line, and sinker. Even the message that I'm preaching right now, I don't want you to believe it just because I say it. That's why I'm reading all of these passages, all of this scripture, because you follow God and don't follow me. Amen, somebody. I need to rush to close. Listen to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7. Now, notice it. He said, greet the churches of Christ. I'm going to have to skip some of that. The churches of Christ, and some of you say, well, the Bible is called the church of God. It's called the church of the living God, the kingdom of God. And we know that the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them are one. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7, it says all these three are one. So when you say the church of God, you're saying the church of Christ. You see, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And we know John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And so we know the Word is Jesus. In verse 14, it drops down and says, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father. So Jesus is the Word. And so all three are one. And so we say the church of God, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear Son. You see, all this glory is going to God. Brother Garrett, are you saying that everybody that's not in the church of Christ is not saved? Well, let me read a passage. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, what I am saying, what the Bible says is that all the saved are in Christ's church. See, the saved are in the church. That's why I say don't you cast out church, the assembly, the ecclesia. So what the Bible says is that all the saved are in the church. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit were we all, everybody say all baptized into one body. No, we established earlier that the body is the church. The church is the body. That in God's eyesight, there is only one church, one body. He says, whether Jews or Greeks, and this puts everybody in Jews at one time, were God's chosen in the Old Testament, not anymore. It's all people. Most people in here today are Greeks. Whether slaves or free, we were all, everybody say all made to drink by of one spirit. It's one hard to understand. Amen. And so in this church of Christ, I absolutely know, according to the scriptures, it is the will of God that everybody in the world be in the one church we can read about in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
So what the Bible is saying is that he wants all of his children to be in the one body. And so, Brother Gary, are you saying that everybody that's in this one church will be saved? Well, we need to read another passage. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, the scriptures say, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. Now, those of you that's already in the church, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the church of God, the kingdom of his dear Son, the churches of Christ, the body of Christ, Christ's body, for all of those of you that's already in the church, now, don't get absolutely happy till you get to heaven. Because judgment begins with the household of God. Notice. It's like now notice this. Let me finish reading this. I need to finish. So if it begins with us, that's why there's this distinction. Can't you see this? If you're searching, if you're looking, God has the organization, the church, the household of God. God, his wisdom is going to be made known through the God, through the church. There's only one church. God, there is a distinction in the world we live in. Every church is not God's church. And so don't be vain. Don't be mad at because somebody told you this long time ago or these people do it. You just obey God.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But if judgment begin with us first, it says this, then what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And so judgment begins with us. If you're in the church and you've heard the truth, you know the truth of the gospel and you love God and you're in the church and you're baptized in Jesus Christ, boy, you ought to be saying glory, hallelujah. Yeah. But I tell you what, though, you better not take it for granted. No, 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 don't take it for granted. No, no, no. And it says, be thou faithful unto death. Some of our senior saints in here that's 75, 80 years, don't you go, don't you get your wild bug after 80 years old.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, I've been a Christian for 45 years. I'm going to go sow my wild oats. You better stay with the Lord. Yes. Amen, somebody. You can lose your soul even if you are in the church.
Yes, sir.
So you obey God till you die.
Yes,
stay with him till you die.
Yes, sir.
Now let me extend the invitation. This is part one. Tell me about the Church of Christ. People have questions. I don't want, try to answer all the questions in one sermon. I've tried to do it, and I say too much. But if you want to be a member of the Church of Christ and do it like they did in the Bible, then the opportunity is given. And so how do I do that, Brother Gary? See, there's something you got to hear. And Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It goes back to the word of God. Yeah, I know television makes you lazy. I'm not pleased if you're watching. But it does kind of make you lazy because you depend on the preacher. You depend on the preached word. And I know, and God's way is to deliver his word through the preached word, but he also provides, there are more copies of the Bible than any other book it is in existence. But a faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, so you have your word to check up on what I'm saying. Well, now, what any preacher is saying, it comes by hearing. That's where your faith comes. And see, in the scriptures say in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, the kind of faith God wants you to have, you must believe. You haven't seen God with your eyes, but it's impossible to please God without faith. And your faith grows. A lot of people are confused because they know nothing about the word of God. Your faith grows when the more you know about the word, the more you're going to say, there is a God. God has one church. It's plain and clear. I understand it now. All this stuff, it makes sense now. Your faith increases. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what the scriptures say. You must repent of your sins. On the day of Pentecost, in Luke, in Matthew 2:38, sister preaching my sermon down here. he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Notice this. One of the differences between the invitation that I'm giving right now and some you might hear. Mm-hmm. See, some you might hear sometimes. And I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you what I hear. See, notice this. See, listen. Everybody that's speaking, not speaking the word of God. And sometimes I hear somebody say, well, where you are, so receive Jesus in your heart. Now, but when you read the Bible, now check that. Because Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, the very sermon he preached, they asked the question, what shall we do? And I know somebody may have that question in your mind. What do I do? Peter told him, repent. Repent means to turn from sin, because that's why Jesus came to this world. Some people say, all you have to do is have faith alone. Well, faith, the devils believe, but they don't obey God. Jesus came to die for our sin. If you don't have a changed mind about sin, you are not saved. But again, when I came to the church, all the preacher said was have faith and faith alone. And I got baptized 2 months later. That's because you didn't do it like they did in the Bible. Because on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized the same. That's the urgency. Jesus said, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because you're not saved till you complete your obedience to the gospel. The gospel is preached, but just because it's preached, it don't save you. There's something that you have to do. And so we admonish you with all of our hearts to do it God's way. Make your calling and election sure. Don't go stand before God saying, I thought. Somebody told me this is what they did, because they won't be with you when you stand before God. You must confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, And will I confess before my Father who's in heaven? You can't be ashamed that you're a Christian. No, no, be proud. Are you proud that you're a member of the Church of Christ? And to confess Christ don't mean you go around just saying everybody, you just go around saying, I love the Lord, I'm a Christian. You go to your job and tell them, hey, yeah, I know I'm a Christian. You acknowledge that you are a Christian. But more than that, you need to live it every day.
Yes,
amen?
Yes,
yeah, and if you deny, because see, some people are ashamed. That's why the young folks, just because you're young, yeah, you know, you need to live in a way that your friends know that there's a difference in you.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes,
sir. Because if you deny me before men, Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father,
yes, sir,
which is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
And then be baptized. See, you complete your obedience through baptism. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, says we are all baptized into one body. And then we'd have those who are well-meaning scholars, PhDs, folks who went to school. They will say that baptism is just an outward sign of inward grace. Baptism is just a ceremony. That's why they don't baptize you at your point of confession. They'll say, well, we can do it 5 weeks later. You might not be alive. And so in churches of Christ, in this Church of Christ, we teach that you complete your obedience, you hear the word of God, you repent, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ, and you're baptized in water for the forgiveness, for the remission of your sins. If you're not baptized, your sins are still on you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we extend that invitation every chance, every opportunity we get. Why do you do that every time, Brother Gary? Because it's just that urgent. Yeah, that's why we baptize literally 7 days a week. We do, don't we?
Amen.
7 days a week. We'll come up to the building, drive up to the building. One sister, sometimes some people are fearful of coming in the crowd. But notice this, you can be fearful of a crowd, but don't be fearful of the Lord.
Amen.
You can't be ashamed that you're a Christian.
Amen.
And so we extend that opportunity. I've been preaching now for about 35, 38 minutes, and I'm about to stop. But some of us in the church don't know what we have. I'm glad I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Because no matter what else is going on in your life, and you know, on this side, everything's not going to be right anyway. When we close our eyes in death, we stand before the Father. And those of us, some of us are going to be alive when Jesus comes. We don't know who that's going to be. But the Bible says that Jesus is going to come back for his glorious church without spot or blemish. Judgment is going to begin in the household of God. See, judgment is going to be quick for those who's not in the household of God. And there may be someone here who needs to be added to the body of Christ, to the Church of Christ. If you're here today, we extend that invitation for you to come. If you're here today and you need for us to pray for anything, if you're here today and you have something on your heart that you need to ask for forgiveness for, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
Oh, yes.
I can hear my Savior calling.
Somebody come to the Lord today.
Take my cross and follow.